Hi. Kind of short, I think, a little bit. All right. They're not naked at all. I was like, I'm not going to go up there and say anything about that joke about them being naked, but then it was too easy. There's really a lot of people over there. I like to pretend in this venue that there's only one room, but it's hard. So I'm going to start out with this poem that I rewrote. So it's called Song for the Express Checkout Cashier Reprise. I spent most of my young life working at a Giant Eagle in New Kensington, and I loved being the express checkout cashier because I could just fly. You know what I mean? It was, I don't know. So, how you can twirl bag and ring simultaneously, spinning wit and stage niceties. You smile skinny, but we know you're that Sunday morning tough, enough to slam cans and grit teeth at stubborn sexagenarians, squawking over coupons doubling, so what? Somewhere you know there aren't numbers on bananas, slick plastic bags sticking grease and cucumber wax, kissing your fingers, all that chicken blood pulling pink on the belt. You know this isn't forever, so you continue, but quickly, 10 items or less or else, waiting, pacing, cued and reluctant for the next stop, bagging frozen with frozen, produce with produce, non-perishable, bread always on top. I feel like that's really important to learn. If all of you, you know, go to the grocery store and someone bags your stuff and it's a mess, I don't know if anybody cares, but I care. I was 13th place in the bagging competition for 2 years in a row. 13th place is ridiculous, but there were like 300 people. So, I mean, that's it's on my resume, actually. So, this is called Allegheny Valley Exit 48. I wonder if it matters to the truck driver on the shoulder, opening a map like wings spread under a Mets hat, a cigarette, all turnpike in the shutter speed of drive-by, this town and how everyone in it will always be drowned out. When I'm asked where I'm from, I imagine my dad's hands, thick and greased, shifting under a now-dead town, brilliant with only the beacon of barges, silent and tracing the river. How we're all asleep there in that boxy runoff of industry, rotting along the Allegheny, aluminum and steel, bullets and body armor, dreaming in all that heavy metal and burnt oranges. I don't say any of that because we're somehow living that sadness, still cracked as concrete, tall as mortar cliffs and mountains we cut into for dollar stores, drive-throughs, thinking we escaped unscathed in Subarus and next-door suburbs, burning Yankee candles, burning leaves in lawn bags and old tax returns, newspapers burning up. Solemn as smokestacks, the kids from New Kensington are stuck to each other, licked between hamburger wrappers and a community college defiance, telling people we matter, having to prove it, elbows on counters, and all that downhill running, arms open, afraid but unafraid to go home. I think that's the only poem. Oh, there probably was food in there somewhere. Every poem I picked tonight had food either in the title or like about it, and I was like, this is ridiculous. So it's like when you go to the grocery store and you're not supposed to go when you're hungry, maybe don't pick your poems. Oh man, I was like, they're gonna know I'm a fat kid. All right, so this one is called Pizza for Breakfast, and I feel like you were talking about pizza for breakfast. This is, yeah, well, this is political. It's the only one I've got right now, but it's called Pizza for Breakfast. Whether or not it's strange to talk to the dead, it's strange to ask her questions like, you wouldn't have voted for Trump, right? But I want to know how I want to know the same of everyone, even the mailman, even my dead friend, her cold ghost, my passenger. No, you couldn't have. I answer myself some morning because that is what I need to believe, holding up my third slice of cold pizza, a decision I always regret. So this is life in a post-truth world. I read news alerts until I'm sad, so I grab at whatever fills me, rattled only by necessity, and all of us shaking our heads so intensely we knock the earth off her orbit, the bastard moon kicked like a head of lettuce into vastness. So when astronomers gather in D.C. to study, confirm we are headed certainly into uncertainty, the last thing we see is orange. And his party, clogging up the TV, slippery as pepperoni, quick to dismiss it, but ready to grab your pussy before everything goes dark. I hate that word. I hate that word, but I have to say it for that, I think. It's okay. All right. So I used to live in Greensburg, like, for most of my early adult life, and there was a spaghetti place down the street, and every Monday night for $5 you could get a huge plate of spaghetti, salad, bread. It was great when I was in college. Probably should have stopped going there, but kept going there. It was like the best spaghetti because it was cheap. Really, it was awful, and the salad was all like old, whatever. So I was in it for the bread, really. They get mad at me. They're like, we're going to charge you for more bread. I'm like, it's okay. It's $5 spaghetti. It's okay. It's called For Matt After $5 Spaghetti, an ode to Frank O'Hara. You could be better at keeping in touch. When I'm frustrated with you, it is really your carelessness, the casual way in which you stay in your head, mostly destructively. It's true, I had my face all in that spaghetti, starved, and did you feel it? Those bitter sweet tomatoes stung the corners of my mouth, eyes on the complimentary bread loaf waning. I realize we are both afraid of all the things that could happen, you know? The blank page, enormity, how the familiar waitress might forget to come back when we need more water or more bread. And not living with you now is hard because you get that. And it's not anger so much as it is sadness, as it is not really about the bread at all. All right. Right. Banana Tootsie Pop. And this is my note to anybody that finds these, please contact me, buy them all. Bring them to me. They are rare. They are a rare item. Cannot get them any longer. Banana Tootsie Pop. They won't get you. They never do. Because from there, it's just sweetness. It's just you wanting what you cannot have. That limited edition kind of love. Again and again, you find yourself flanneled and fumbling, late night sifting through boxes of bulk Tootsie Pops in get-go gas stations, kissing asses, asking sleepy cashiers what they have in the back. Why do you always find what's fleeting? No, it's yellow, but not lemon, you hear yourself say. You say, thanks anyway. I'm for real though. Banana Tootsie Pops, buy them, bring them to me. It's funny, but it's not. I'm serious. I'll give you my number. Okay. This is my last poem. And I've been really preoccupied with New Kensington lately, which is where I'm from. And it's a shithole, admittedly. Okay, thank you. It feels like a shithole. It feels dark there. And then I met someone who's like, I grew up in New Ken. And I was like, oh my goodness. I've been actually collecting postcards of New Kensington on eBay. So that's another thing I like to do late at night, besides look for banana Tootsie Pops, is go on eBay and look for old postcards of New Ken and just, I don't know. I love the idea of what it used to be, because when I grew up there, it wasn't. And most of the people I talked to were like, oh, when I was younger, it was But we never saw that, you know. I was the generation who just heard about it being a place that was once thriving, and so it's always been that myth to me. Anyway, it's called No One Told Me How Sad You Were. No one told me how sad you were, and I couldn't have known, because nobody talked about you or anything real back then, when being a kid felt more like ping pong between your old blue house and that first floor apartment where my mom kept me. You were only a dad on the weekends you had me, and the holidays you skipped on that ugly brown couch. My mom dropped me off to stop in so I could hug you and kiss the stubble and sweat of your ancient face. Tired, you'd say, in a backdrop of gray TV light and furnace rattle. I left you there, over and over and sad for myself, but not you. I was a stuck bubble in a pink dress, pearly scuffed shoes and opaque white tights that you couldn't see my tomboy bruises through. And when I begged to stay, crawled under the felted fuzz of your old Afghan, I was shooed to a relative of a relative or a relative of a friend, nothing of my own but made to watch it. Other people's families having real moments while I sat a painted egg on a stranger's couch, quiet and learning like you to be sad. Thank you.